The crazy week has passed, and I'm not just talking about the storm. I'm talking about, didn't somebody get dressed up this week? Did any of you get dressed up the other night? Were you too old for Halloween? You did? What did you put on?
I put on a dress.
A dress? What did you go as?
I was supposed to be a princess. I was supposed to be a devil. I lost the horns.
Okay, did you hear that? She was supposed to be a devil, but she lost the horns, and so she went as a princess. Okay? Beth, no. Okay. What did you go as, Aaron? A what? A bluebird. You put on that costume. Where's Beth? Bethy, what did you go as? A movie star. You dressed up as a movie star. Did anybody else go out? Anyone? I read somewhere that actually Halloween is becoming more an adult Halloween. I mean, an adult holiday. I don't know. Okay. We get all dressed up on Halloween, don't we? We put on something different. We try on something new. We go as something maybe that we're not, I mean, maybe something we dream of. Or something we might be scared of, that's a way in which we deal with some of our fears. We put on these things, and we're a little bit different in the process. But then, once we've gotten all our candy and everything, we take it off, right? Put it on for a few hours, take it off. You know, junior high is a time for experimenting with a lot of different things. I remember when I was in junior high, I tried putting on some different stuff. I mean, okay, guys, it's a little bit different, at least back then, than it was for girls. But, you know, my form of rebellion, it wasn't so much from putting on something. It was more just instead of tucking in, I tucked out in junior high. Anybody else do that? Okay, I know it's kind of sloppy. I noticed some other guys dress a little bit different nowadays. Just trying on different stuff. You know, in this is the age, you know, and I'm not just talking about this decade or whatever, but this age, the age that you guys are in right now is a time when you're experimenting with different things. Who is the person that you are going to be? I recall that my family moved the summer between my 9th grade year and my 10th grade year, as I was shifting from junior high to high school. And I remember when I moved to this new location, I was thinking, I could be something different in this place than I had been in the last place. But no, because nobody knows me in this new place, so I could be different. You know, sort of like the same when you go to college, right? You go to college and nobody knows you there. So you can be somebody a little bit different. So you dress yourself a little bit different. And I'm not talking about necessarily clothes. I'm talking about the person that you are. Now, I learned very quickly that the things that we dress ourselves with, like friends, you know, this can be good for good or for ill. When I changed between junior and senior high, I started thinking, you know, I was thinking, you know, I've been so much of somewhat of a nerdy character, and B, sort of a church-going, goody-goody, two-shoes kind of guy. And so I thought, well, maybe I should start seeking out and putting on some different friends. And I didn't make too many good choices, but it didn't take too long for me to discover that. I think my rebellion period was about a month. You know, that I just realized this was not the kind of person that I really wanted to be. This is not deep down who I was. You know, we can put on all sorts of stuff. We can experiment left and right. And this is a time in your life when you are experimenting, right? You're experimenting with the person that you're going to be. Now, there's some reasons why we try to do this. As we're putting on clothes, different. I mean, it can be literally clothes, or it can be the ways we are with people. And we can do these things for one reason, might be because we want people to like us. We want to be likable. We want people to care about us, and so, or maybe even people to pay attention to us. Maybe we have not been all that visible, we think. We've been sort of on the sidelines, and we want to be noticed. But at this point in time, especially for you all, you are putting on things that you're trying to see what you are for a lifetime. Not just for right now, but what sort of person are you going to become? What sort of person are you going to become? And I think all of us do face this. It's not just those in junior high. These words are not just for a certain point in time when decisions are made about the kind of persons that we will be. I mean, we face these, you know, I looked at Megan when I talked about college. Well, we face these at significant points when we make a change. Changes are times when we are asking, what am I going to put on? Who am I going to be? Now, as we face into some of these questions of what we're going to put on, first thing I want to assure you is that God is with you through the whole process. You know, it's not like all of a sudden you can completely change who you are. Because God has been at work in you from the very beginning. So that when you put on something that is not in character with who you are, well, we use the words out of character. It just doesn't feel right. It doesn't feel honest. It doesn't feel complete. It doesn't, and it's not so much a feeling, it's an intuitive, it's a... Well, the Apostle Paul, when he was writing to the folks in Corinth, he said something to the effect of, well, we read it earlier, as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, he was saying to those folks in Corinth, and he was reminding them of some things. Some things that I need to remind all of us. That you here are God's chosen ones. That doesn't make you better than anybody else. But God is choosing you. God has chosen you. God has set you apart. You are God's chosen ones. Holy. Now that doesn't mean goody-goody. That doesn't mean better than anybody else. It doesn't mean holier than thou. But God is involved in this process of, well, and forgive me if this sounds strange, but creating saints. You notice that first song we sang, the greeting? Paul was writing to the folks there in Corinth, a greeting that he used elsewhere. He said, to the saints. And he wasn't writing that to angels who were, or to people, you know, people who had died and the so good people who were above everybody else. He was actually writing to the people in Colossae, and calling them saints. And a saint is somebody who is separated, somebody who is called by God and God has a special hand on. And it says, to the saints and brothers and sisters. You know, I guess not everybody is a saint, but the truth is that everybody in God's eyes is. As God's chosen one, holy and loved, you are loved deeply, more than you will ever, ever, ever know. That's who you are. There's never a point in time that you are not loved by God. Never a point in time that you are not loved by God. Do you believe that? Deeply? I mean, you can say that you believe it, but you are at all times. There is never a time. As Paul said elsewhere in his letter to the Romans, there is nothing in all of creation that can separate you from the love of God. Nothing. Absolutely nothing. Neither height, nor depth, nor things past, nor things to come, nor, well, the list is long. Nothing can separate you from that love. That is a bottom line. That is part of your deep down character. And God is in the process of working that love into us all our lives. All of our lives. Now, Paul then goes on after saying this. He says, clothe yourself with compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience. And I want to assure you that how can I best put this? We live in a time, a consumer time, when we believe, we look to our closet to tell us who we are. We look to our closet to decide what kind of person am I going to be today. And so, you know, this day, well, when I say this, it's not like, today I'm going to put on compassion. Do you like me? Do I look nice? Okay, tomorrow I will try kindness. Do you like that? Is it handsome? How about gentleness? We'll try this the next day. And so it becomes a process of trying one thing on or the next. No, that's not what we mean by clothing yourselves. This is not clothing that is removable and can be changed day by day by day by day. That's not what the song means, day by day by day. Okay, one day I'll put this, one day I'll be that, and then they... No. Day by day, I am the person who created me. And I am in my, if you will, my birthday clothes. That's what I mean by clothes, your birthday clothes, okay? Your birthday clothes. And I'm not talking about you know, taking all these clothes off and being naked in front of the world. But it's that kind of clothes that you don't really take on and off. It's the things that you deep down are. And so Paul, in using these words, is not... Okay, when I use the words prescription and description, do you know what the difference is between those two? A prescription, Dave, you know, as a doctor, you prescribe something to make something somebody better, right? You make it right out a prescription, and they are supposed to take it to a pharmacist, and the pharmacist will fill out the prescription, will give it back to you, and you take these, and they're supposed to make you better, right? This is not a prescription. I mean, this is not that, okay, if you clothe yourself in, if you take this pill called compassion, if you put on this coat called kindness, if you, then you're going to be okay, that God will love you and that you will be saved and you will make it. And this is not a prescription, that if and only if you do these things, then will you be what God wants you to be. No. This is a description. A description is something that describes the person that you truly, truly are deep down. I mean, there is a little bit of prescription. If we turn earlier in this third letter to the Colossians, Paul, who begins this letter by saying, so if you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your minds on things that are above, not on things that are on earth. For you have died and your life is hidden with Christ in God. And then he talks about certain things that need to be taken off. Or the words he uses is put to death, because he has just talked about Jesus dying upon a cross. And Jesus, we say, has died for this, not just so that we will get to heaven, but so that certain things might that describe the person that we are not, that these things can die with Christ. I mean, he goes through quite a list. You know, he says, my words, and these are words we don't use all the time, but you know, and the first, there are two parts of the list. There's fornication, impurity, passion, evil desire, and greed. The majority of these have to do with sex, let's be honest. But, you know, it's kind of... attitudes and actions that are destructive of ourselves and of others. These things need to be put to death. They need to be taken off. And he goes further on this, not just to those. He talks about, what is this? Anger, wrath, malice, slander, abusive language, things that need to go, need to be taken off. Now, again, it's not that if you still struggle with these things, then God won't love you. No, as I said earlier, there is never a time that God does not love you. Nothing in all of creation can separate you from the love of God in Jesus Christ. That's what Paul said. These things, though, are taken off. And rather, you're putting on. The process is describing a kind of a putting on of the new self. A new creation. A new Adam, that's what he called it. A new Adam in Christ. A new person. And then in this, as he ends that first section in chapter 3, you know, there's nothing, you know, the differences that we see between each other are just not there. In this new creation, there's neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither circumcised or uncircumcised, barbarian, Scythian, slave or free, we might go on to say, neither Republican or Democrat, neither black nor white, neither, you could make up the list yourself. All of these things that would separate us, that would move us apart, in Christ, those things are done away with. Instead, then he gets down to that section that we read at the beginning. The things that we put on. And we mentioned, what are they? Compassion, kindness, humility, meekness, patience, forbearance, forgiveness. Now these things are not law. Law being that if you do not do this, then you cannot be forgiven. If you do not forgive, you cannot be forgiven. I mean, I know, forgive as you have been forgiven. That's an encouragement. That's a call. That's not a law that says you cannot be forgiven if you have not forgiven. You cannot be forgiven if you have not forgiven someone else. But it's when we forgive, we are continuing what God is doing. And then Paul alludes to the thing that holds it all together. And what is it that holds all of these things together? Above all, clothe yourselves in love. That is the central thing. John read one of the most treasured passages of Scripture where it talks about what love is and what love isn't. It's not just for weddings. It's not just for funerals. It is for all time. We are clothed, and this is actually our birthday suit. Our birthday suit is love. Now, in the Greek language, there are several words that describe love. There's the love that is eros love, from which we get the word erotic. There is the love that is more like brotherly and sisterly love, from which we get the word Philadelphia, which is the city of brotherly love. And then there is agape love, which is the God kind of love, the deep, deep, deep abiding love of God that is within, that is trying to work itself out to the surface. It is this that holds everything together, as Paul says, in perfect harmony. And it's through this that the peace of Christ rules in our hearts. Now, you guys, I love that part where you were taking this and you put it on John. So John wore love as he read about love. And what I'd like us to do now, as we sing our final song, I invite you, as you feel led, to come forward as a way of maybe stepping out into something that already is within you, to allow, to clothe yourself, if you will, today. Because that's something we do every day, day by day by day. As Martin Luther once said, we die to sin and we rise to Christ each and every day of our lives. That is what we do every day, day by day by day. I invite you, the junior highs are going to be helping us do this as we sing this song, Bound Together, with chords that cannot be broken. We are going to be inviting you, and there are various different words that are a part of this morning's scripture on here on hearts, and the hearts represent love, right? You know, from gentleness, compassion, forgiveness, kindness, humility, patience. You can see. And what I invite you to do as we sing is to come forward and receive one of these. And you can actually ask, I need some forgiveness today. Or I really need patience. Could you give me patience? Okay? So you know what some of your needs are. Come forward and they will help you. And we will carefully and not pick anybody with the pins. Okay? Hand these to you and you can pin it on yourself to do as we sing together.